Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously Fukushima irradiated and super storm savvy island chained paradise of New Zealand. And my very special guest today, ladies and gentlemen, is the, the word ubiquitous comes to mind. I don't even know what the word ubiquitous means. I hope it's something positive. It's Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com. Behind me on the screen, Suzanne, we have my Safari open to OccupyCorporatism.com, and there ain't no OccupyCorporatism.com.
I know. I know. It's the third day now. My website is under heavy DDoS attack. I've been speaking with the hosting company. They have IP addresses that tie into Dubai. They have IP addresses that tie into Brazil. But I believe that those are mirrors. And for those who don't know, mirrors are a way for a hacker to bounce off of a area to make it look like the information or the attack is coming from that IP address, when really it's just them bouncing off of them to get to where they're going. So I don't know what to do. We have isolated some IP addresses, and I've gotten some information just recently from a wonderful, amazing, good friend of mine that will help my hosting company locate the people who are attacking, because it's a federal crime. What is happening right now? It's also harming my business, and I think that prosecution might be in order. Extradition, you know, somebody might be riding in a bus. Do they still chain those guys down?
Well, shoot, I hope so.
I hope so too. Like, can we get a photo op?
Yeah. You know, state prison with the orange jumpsuits and the loose manacles.
Yep.
The Crocs blunders.
You know, and it's funny because it's on a timer, too. My website, when I woke up this morning at about 7 o'clock Pacific time, my website was up. I put in a few articles, quickly put them in, and was promoting an article. And by 9 o'clock Pacific time, the website was down, and it's been that way ever since.
What was the very last article you posted?
The very last article I posted was the connection between Obamacare, DDoS attacks, and mental illness.
Whoa. So let me get this straight. You criticize Obamacare and DDoS attacks and mental illness, and then somebody who's got mental illness DDoS attacks you.
I don't know. Well, I mean, that's an assumption. They might actually be a functioning adult. You know, you never know.
I don't know, man. If you're trying to hack take out Suzanne Posel's OccupyCorporatism.com's in the top 10,000 websites in the world, huge amounts of really good articles exposing copious quantities of scumbaggery, you must have something wrong with your head, boy.
Well, I mean, I thought it was ironic. It was Saturday. This article actually was going viral, and people started telling me on Sunday that they couldn't view my website, and that's when it was Sunday. And it was hard to get a hold of the president of the company that hosts my website. He's a friend of mine, and so I got with him on Monday morning, and they were mitigating the damage as much as possible. It was up and down. Maybe some people could view it in one place where others couldn't view it in another. But basically, it was just up and down and up and down. Every time they turn it on, or they shut it down, and every time they turn it back on, it would just hammer. And so they resorted to isolating IP addresses and just manually blocking IP addresses. And anything that clicks on it more than once a second is being blocked right now. But it's so high intensity that the website can't even come up.
Sweet mother of mercy. What are we going to do?
A wonderful, amazing person has offered to put me on private secured servers with all sorts of the latest bells and whistles as far as security goes. And so I'm going to be moving my website this week. So part of the website being down will be the migration from where I am to where I'm going. And then anybody who has a website knows that as soon as you load it back up, when you load the backup, there's always some glitches. So when it does come back up, it might be a little glitchy or things might not look right. But my husband will be in the background making sure all the plugins work and everything goes in order. And probably by Saturday, Sunday, it should be working up to normal. And hopefully not hackable anymore.
You know, I wish, you know, Anonymous, how they've been helping us out with a few things just recently. It's funny, it doesn't really work the same way, does it? Like, a hacker can't protect you from another hacker, can they?
Well, you know, I last night I was watching some stuff on Anonymous. So I was watching this documentary that they put out, and this is not news. You know, this happened a few years ago, you know, but it's actually really important. Articles that I'd written about Anonymous were tying them into the LUSEC and the infiltrated group that caused some havoc with the FBI and things like that. But when I was watching this documentary, they were talking about a PowerPoint presentation that was put out by H.B. Gary, Palantir Technologies, and another group. Palantir Technologies. And this is really, really important, folks, because this is Peter Thiel. And I've written about Peter Thiel a lot. And nobody never heard of Peter Thiel.
What's the deal with Thiel?
The deal with Thiel is he started PayPal. He was a co-founder of PayPal. He gave Zuckerberg his initial investment money and started Facebook. And he owns Palantir Technologies. He's invested in Blue Seed, which is a seasteading operation where they will have barges and huge, you know, cruise liner yacht, ginormous, out 12 miles out to sea so that they're in international waters and that they're not subject to any laws to wherever the landmass is that they're closest to. And people would have to have passports to come in and off the boat. And this would be the best of the best as far as think tanks go and creativity and ingenuity. So it would kind of be like a eugenics eugenics experiment floating out there in international waters. Palantir Technologies, let me get back to that. Palantir Technologies is the go-to favorite of the government when they want to hire a corporation to commit acts of surveillance on governments and anyone else. And they have connections to everything. So Palantir Technologies and H.B. Gary and this other group, and I can't remember their name right now, they all got together and they decided that they were going to put out massive amounts of propaganda against Anonymous, who were doing good works. And in this PowerPoint, they outline how they're going to do it, what they're going to say. And a lot of this information has entered into the alternative media, and it has been regurgitated over and over again as if it were true. And I have to apologize right now, because a lot of the articles that I've written previously have put Anonymous in a bad light, because I was regurgitating this information too.
Well, and in that case, I need to apologize as well, because I was regurgitating it too up until I think a couple of months ago when I started to get an inkling, hold on a second, this just isn't right.
Anonymous, one of the things that impressed me when I was watching this documentary was Anonymous, at the time of the Egyptian Arab Spring, they hooked the internet back up for them so that they could continue to communicate. Regardless of what was going on with the regime change and the revolution and all the subversive implications of it, and that didn't matter. What they were doing was for the people of Egypt, and that was a moment to bring back their source of information and their source of communication back to them so that the people could make an informed decision on what was going on literally in front of their face. and get information out to other sources so that we could see what was actually happening, not how it was being spun in any type of media, whether alternative or mainstream, but actually get to see real footage of how these people were being murdered and tortured right in the street. That is an amazing thing that we need to be grateful for. I mean, we may not agree with all of the tactics of Anonymous, but they are absolutely exposing corruption. And that is what the press was designed to do. And so they're doing their job as journalists, as hacktivists.
And I've found they've, because they've helped us with our problems kind of thing, it occurs to me that because their job is very similar to ours, like I'm not sure if I classify myself as a journalist. I'm just a douchebag with a microphone. But you're a journalist, and if it's kind of like a team, you know how in those big mainstream movies or whatever. I don't know whether it's Superman and they're working in the Daily Planet or whatever. There's a whole bunch of people that do an awful lot of different jobs for each other, and journalists often have informants, consultants, that kind of thing in order to get information that perhaps they wouldn't be able to get otherwise. And so it occurs to me that hacktivists are now a great tool in the hands of journalists that they choose to help, and I'm very grateful.
Well, absolutely. It's like what we say in guerrilla media, right? Whatever your talent is, bring it to the truth movement. If you're good at computers, if you're good at software, if you're good at building computers, if you're good at writing, if you're good at speaking, if your talent is art or music, whatever it is, bring it to the truth movement, because it's all needed and it all works in tandem for the same common goal, which is restoring not only the United States to a constitutional republic, but to the world, ensuring that each individual citizen and each individual government remains sovereign.
I completely agree. And the United States is just such a big, bad way right now. And there's just, I feel like insulting the people in power. Would that be classified as abusive power?
I think that calling a spade is never a bad thing.
Yeah. So truth, man, truth. And I really hate it when people can't handle the truth because they don't like the way it's delivered. Oh, he was yelling when he said the truth, therefore I'm not going to listen to the truth. It's just, for frack's sake, wake up, look at the information itself and understand that it doesn't matter what form it comes in. What matters is the substance.
It is the inbred cognitive dissonance, and I don't mean inbred like in a derogatory sense, but that the social memes have been ingrained multi-generationally so that we think that this is actually how we're supposed to react and what we're supposed to think about stuff. And it's an identity crisis as well. I'm realizing that people who refuse the cognitive dissonance, the reason why it's so offensive and they get so angry is because it's an identity crisis. They are identifying with the world in which has been presented to them, and you're telling them that it's not that way. And they have a personal investment in their own life, obviously everyone does, and you're telling them that who they are fundamentally is flawed because they have incorrect information on all fronts. That's an identity crisis. Then you take that to the county and to the city and to the state and to the government and to the nation and to the world. We're going through an identity crisis right now.
That's right. Everybody's struggling with cognitive dissonance, whereas I got over that and became a cognitive dissonant. No. Dissident. Yeah. I'm using my cognition to dissent. We'll
That's
be right back.
Yeah.
I think so.
Oh, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Who's sad? There's only one thing I need to know. Whose side are you on?
Yeah. And no one like me. Yeah. 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 Congratulations. You made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo.
Yeah.
But I'm here now. So what you wanna do? How many dudes you really know can flow like this, like this, like this? Let's do it. How many dudes you know move like this? How many dudes you know flow like this? Not many, if any, not many, if any. How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this? I don't know anybody. Check to the mic, check 1, 2, 3.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that is the Crusader. The Crusade against scumbaggery, where you swear to uphold the three oaths of the night, to have courage, to tell the truth, and to maintain your sacred honor. And my very special guest is Suzanne Posel. Now, this is a problem. I wanted to bring you on so that we could discuss some of the newest articles at OccupyCorporatism.com, but the fucking site's down. Oh, my God.
Well, we can still talk about these articles. I mean, I have everything saved on Word documents on external hard drives, so.
Of course, but I wanted to talk about this this alleged super typhoon.
Oh, yes.
Anytime they want to hype up global warming, they call a typhoon a super typhoon. They call a storm a super storm. They just add super onto anything as if it actually, you know, makes it some kind of, Marvel comic book hero.
Well, yeah, sure. And then the UN is asking for $301 million, like 300 and that one extra is going to help out in any way, shape, or form. So $301 million to provide humanitarian assistance to the Philippines. Absolutely, we should be, you know, providing assistance, but I don't know. The UN...
Not through the UN, we shouldn't.
Look what they did with Haiti and cholera, you know.
They put the hate back into Haiti. All right.
Exactly.
We have freaking footage of them literally opening fire on shanty towns. Like, they just roll in with an armored vehicle and just start shooting for no reason.
Well,
these,
you know,
people
what?
Are freaking psychotic.
I went through Hurricane Andrew back in the early 90s. I think it was like 92, 93. That was incredible because the homestead, Florida, where I grew up, was completely decimated. And when we were in a two-story high or a four-story high-rise on the second floor, and when we came out to see the devastation, all the homes were completely decimated. It was weird because tornadoes had gone through, and like a row of seven houses, townhouses that were connected, and then just one closet with all the clothes hanging in it were left behind. It's crazy what a tornado will do. You know, it's insane. But after the storm, in came FEMA, in came the National Guard. There were tanks on the streets. There were brigades running down the streets with their guns loaded and Black Hawk helicopters overhead every night. You could hear shots. You could hear people screaming. It was incredible. It was like Bosnia. It was insane. And I just imagine on a small scale what the people in the Philippines are going through, just having gone through that. And there was no running water. And people were getting, families were having trouble getting into the devastated areas to get their families out, family members who were still there. No cell phones back then, only for the rich people. But it was insane. And I remember this one instance where there was in the high rise where we were staying, everybody's, you know, no electricity, no air conditioning. And it's in the middle of South Florida, in the middle of summer, by the way, when it's horribly hot. And most people's windows are blown out. So we're worried about keeping everyone safe. And so some of the men got together and they had handguns. They were registered gun owners. And so they were doing a patrol every night. And the soldiers came in and I was outside talking with some of the kids. And I noticed that the soldiers were talking to a couple of gentlemen. One of them was one of the patrolmen. And they asked if anyone was armed. And he said no. And that always struck me. It stayed with me with all these years that he would not admit that anyone on the premises was armed. They didn't want the government to know that. So I can just imagine.
They would have taken their guns that they paid good money for and have a right to bear.
Probably. I mean, this was way before I knew anything that was going on. I was just a kid. I just turned 13. Mm. You know? And I can just imagine what the people in the Philippines are actually going through right now, the devastation, because it's on a massive scale. What I'm talking about is just a small devastation compared to what they are going through.
And another storm is on the way right now.
Right. And as far as concealment goes, I'll explain something else. In Naranja Lakes, where all of this happened, the townhomes were like a row of seven, and there were courtyards where, you know, they would create a little rectangle, and you could drive in, and some of them ended in cul-de-sacs. And across the street, there were more, and there was just this main street that went by, and you could drive into these little cul-de-sacs into these homes. And the trucks were coming in and out of them with body bags. And they explained that they were collecting debris, putting it in body bags, and then carrying it away on trucks. And this is right near Homestead Air Force Base, where my father was stationed when I was a kid. And they were going to the base as well, taking these. Why would they fill up body bags? Now, they reported only four deaths during Hurricane Andrew, but I know from neighbors that there were multiple elderly people who had stayed in those homes that were completely decimated, a lot more than four people. 30 people that we knew were unaccounted for, and they were staying in their home, and they were between 65 and 85. So, you know. It's just horrible, I'm sure, what they're going through there, you know.
Mm. Well, I want to also say this because Russell Norman, a Green MP from New Zealand, said this super typhoon is the result of global warming. As far as I know, for the last 15 years, the temperature of the Earth has actually gone down. And sorry. It's not global warming, it's climate change. Yeah. It's kind of like legislation, you know? If you want legislation that will destroy every single person in the country's rights, especially those who happen to be patriots, you call it the Patriot Act. If you want the people to be afraid of something that happens all the time, call it climate change. Has climate change or has climate change not been happening for the last, I don't know, 4 billion years?
Yes.
I don't know.
The climate changes often.
I mean, it's just stupid. You know, back in the 70s, it was global cooling. The 90s, global warming. And because it never got cooler during the global cooling stage and never got warmer during the global warming stage, now they've figured out that, hey, we'll just call it climate change because that way it doesn't matter if it gets hotter or colder or better or worse. We're still correct. We can't be wrong.
People need to remember Project Cirrus. This was back in they've been doing geoengineering experiments since 1908. So let's think about that, folks. Since 1908, they've been doing geoengineering experiments, progressively getting better and better at it as new technology becomes available. And we're talking about all of this erratic weather. How many years has it been since 2008? Would you say that would be a block of time period that would facilitate the incredible weather systems that we see that are being created, or possibly that all of this geoengineering for, let's say, at least the last century is having a palatable effect now? I mean, is it human influenced? Absolutely. It's geoengineering.
That's right. And people won't even believe geoengineering when they see it, will they? You know? You see it being sprayed out of a frickin'. We've got it in HD footage here, folks. All right? HD footage taken in New Zealand of a big chemtrail being laid over the city. Right when it's being laid. Perfect. The money shot. And people still don't believe it, even though they see it in their own eyes. You know? No. That's just water vapor crystals in high altitude on a really hot day that just sit there for a couple of hours and then expand and then become a giant hazy mist. Yeah, that's natural.
Yes, absolutely.
It's fucking asinine.
I used to lay on the grass and look up at the clouds, and they would turn into bunnies or bikes or dragons. My children don't have that luxury.
Well, now it just looks like a big game of snakes and ladders.
A tic-tac-toe grid.
Mm.
And then, you know, the next day you get the blowover from 5 miles away. Those chemtrails are coming over. You know, and I constantly correct my 3-year-old daughter. That's not a cloud. It's a chemtrail. Because she has this little book, and it says, "Hi, cloud," and it's all these different clouds, and teaching her the different names of all the clouds. And I realize when I read this book to her that she's probably never going to see those clouds that she's learning about because of all the geoengineering. Isn't that terrible?
It's freaking terrible. I think that terrible is the name of the game. That's what happens when your society is run by terrible people.
I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. That's the biggest problem.
Yeah, an even bigger problem than that is that good people don't want to be in power. Because good people don't want power. They don't want control. They've got really not all that much desire to it. That's what I've found anyway. I mean, I want enough power and control so that I can run my own life and not have anybody force me to do something I don't want to do. That's about the extent of how much power and control I really want. Unfortunately, because the scumbaggery element within society has so much power and control, I need to actually exercise as much of it as possible in my own life in order to maintain it at all.
It's hard because people don't want to stand out of a crowd. They feel much better if there's a bunch of people doing something, and then they'll go and do it, you know, regardless of whether it's good or bad. And unfortunately, we need people to step up and start the process, you know, and be brave enough to have their face out there and say what needs to be said so that other people will feel comfortable enough to follow. So we need more people to stand up in every way, shape, or form. Just like if you're good at this or that and the other, apply it to the truth movement. If you're good at this and that and the other, apply it to the re-grievance or the redress of grievances to your government.
How exactly can we redress grievances? Somebody invited me to a group yesterday, I think, and it's against genetic engineering and encouraging us to write submissions to the government and about it and saying that it will be effective. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been to a number of submissions being given by activists, researchers, politicians, etc. Not a single one of those submissions with the very valid concerns that they raised have ever been upheld, ever. I've never seen a single bit of legislation be even moderately modified as a result of people's submission. And I think there's a good reason for that, because what does the word submission mean? It means to submit. I mean, it's like, it reminds me of 300. Submission. Well, that's going to be a problem. Especially
that
in Sparta.
The problem is that what we need to do is stop complying with the system. We absolutely need to. Okay, so they're going to put genetically modified foods out there. Just don't buy them and don't patronize the companies that use them in their products. It's as simple as that. It might take a minute, but it will have a palatable effect. I always go back to the example of the evangelical Christians when they get something up their skirt and they want to go boycott Walmart or Target or whoever. And within weeks, there is a noticeable difference in profits. And so the company acquiesces and then the boycott ends. We could just have an indefinite boycott. You know, I don't want to eat your garbage. I don't want to be threatened with you holding my money. I know how to count my own money. I don't want to pay $3.50 or $5 or $7 or $9 a month for you to count my money. I know how to count. I know basic math. I'm going to keep my own money. You know, I don't want to buy food that I don't trust the corporation that's providing it to me. So I'm going to get a hold of my farmer and get a CSA box. I don't want to bathe my daughter in parabens so that she'll get breast cancer. So I'm going to find natural ways to make my own soap and my own shampoo. You know, just stop participating and it'll go away.
I think so. And here's another interesting element. Douchebaggery. Okay? Some people aren't actually guilty of scumbaggery. All right? Scumbaggery is an intentional thing. Douchebaggery is when you're just that much of an idiot that you just don't know what you're doing to a large degree. And you can recover from that. You can admit to yourself, you know what? I was being a douchebag, but now, you know, I once was blind, but now I can see. You know what I'm saying? And it occurs to me that there's so many employees of the government, employees of these massive, mega, evil corporations, employees of the state police, so on and so forth. They're all freaking slaves, and they're serving a master, and they have no idea that they're simply a douchebag who's facilitating scumbags. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Stop being a douchebag. Stop working for scumbags, because that's what a douchebag does.
Yes. And if you know something, tell somebody. You know? See something, say something. To the right.
Exactly. If you see scumbaggery, expose scumbaggery. All right? Don't report it to the Department of Homeland Security. To the very source of the scumbaggery. We'll be right back after the break at the FinneyEastonShow.com. Suzanne Posel from the former Occupy Corporatism.com is my guest. Gentlemen, to the show that's all about the boogieing it down in the Schwarzenegger sense of the word. My very special guest and fellow party rocker is Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com, which allegedly will be migrated and back up on the internet by Thursday. Now, is this as bad a hack as the last time where they actually destroyed your whole website and they had to... you had to repost like all of your previous articles and such?
Not at this point. It's obviously on a timer. And so it starts up, I'm suspecting around 9 a.m. Pacific time, and then goes till sometime in the morning, because if I've been able to access my website like at 5 in the morning Pacific time or 7, or but after about 9 a.m. Pacific time, it's down. So it is being migrated on Thursday. And when you migrate a site, you know that it, you know, some glitches come along. So my husband's going to be on the backside making sure that all the plugins work and everything works right. And as far as I know, the theme has not been corrupted, hopefully. Because that would be terrible.
Yeah, I think so. There'd be like a double whammy to the face. It's really frustrating, isn't it?
Well, yeah, absolutely. So the hosting company I'm with now, they're working really hard to keep it at bay. They can't keep the website up, but they're keeping the attacks, blocking ISP addresses. But once it's moved, it should it's going to be under a lot of protection, a lot of
You upgraded
protection.
Your security last time, and in fact you indeed had to pay some kind of an exorbitant monthly fee in order to maintain said security, and yet it's not good enough.
Yeah, well, there,
are you going to ask for your frickin' money back?
No. There's certain other protections. There's Cloudflare and other programs that I didn't have access to because they're very, very expensive. But I'm getting about $3,000 a month worth of protection for a very, very reasonable price. And a lot of it is a gift. And I am very, very grateful to the people who are giving this to me. And they told me that they believe in what I'm doing and don't want this to happen because I've been attacked since I moved my site to the new hosting company. It's been about 10 attacks that have happened in the last couple of months. And when I was talking to the hosting company, they said some of them were just really small hacks, so they didn't even tell me about it. But when they added it all up, it's been 10 in the last like 3 months. 4 months? That's a lot of attacks.
Far out. You must be doing something right.
Yes, but I want to continue to do it.
Yeah. In World War II, when Britain was being attacked by the Germans and they were launching their counterattacks, bombing runs and so on and so forth, the Lancaster bomber pilots had a saying that the air defences at the time in Germany were flak cannons. You know, they put these big black puffs of shrapnel and they'd just tear planes apart in midair. The bomber pilots would say, well, when you're getting the flak, it means you're over the target and drop your payload. And I believe this is what's happening now, that you're becoming one of the biggest growing thorns in the side of the establishment, and indeed infiltrators in alternative media who try to act like they're credible journalists when they're really not, because they don't actually have any integrity. As a result, of course you're going to be fired upon. Of course you're going to be attacked, you know? If anything, you should just be like, hey, I'm doing something right, and if your website's down for 3 days, don't worry about it. Just go, hey, I could take 3 days off.
That's what I've been doing. I'm still writing articles, and when I do get back up online, there's going to be a lot of cool stuff up there. But I am. I'm enjoying my time with my family. I'm playing with the kids more, you know, doing stuff, going to the park and having a good time. Because I know that the website's down, and there's no reason to get upset. It's beyond my control. People are attacking my website. I can't make them stop. But I am doing what I can to make sure that they don't have the ability to do it ever again. And after that's complete, then I can just, you know, skip along the path as I was doing before.
I do think so. And it'll be fun. It'll be fun to be back.
And, oh, absolutely.
Take it to a new level. Got to take it to a new level. In fact, a couple of people were asking me yesterday, Suzanne, you know, Vinny, what do you need? Do you need help in this area or that area? And it's like, it's actually quite difficult to get help from people who ask you how they can help you. Because somebody who's actually going to help you doesn't ask you how they can help. They just go ahead and help you with some way that they see that you're struggling and it appears very obvious and they start helping you with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened with the place where it's going to be migrated. It was a complete gift, and you know, maybe it's my upbringing, but it's kind of hard for me to accept a gift. So I feel kind of guilty about that, but I'm extremely appreciative of it. At the same time, it's very humbling. People offered me on leaving messages in my email and on Facebook about, do you need this? Do you need that? I have some extra equipment. I have this. If you need storage space, I have servers. There are a lot of people that will help you. That was wonderful. It was wonderful to see. I'm so absolutely grateful that people actually care.
Well, I see this happening a lot more often recently, and I also wanted to iterate to the listening audience that this show, the Vinny Eastwood Show, 5 days a week, 2 hours a day, you know, we're bringing on guests from all over the world talking about all sorts of stuff. You know, you'll basically, you'll never hear the same thing twice in any two given broadcasts. And I am pretty low on the funds right now. Like, I only just have enough money to cover the rent this week kind of thing. And then I'm down to absolute zero, which means I can pay my rent, but I can't pay my internet or my food or put gas in my car or anything else. So I'm in a bit of desperate financial straits right now. And I think the last time I asked for donations, I got well over a few $1,000s. But, you know, living's expensive. And in 3 weeks, that's just rent and food. $1,000 is gone. Mm-hmm. And that's why I encourage people specifically to donate through the subscription, so that they give a monthly contribution of I don't know, whatever you feel like, $1, $5, $20. Some people do $50 or $100. Really, really do need that regular support coming in, so that I don't have to keep worrying about whether or not there's any cash in that account. You know, I did 11 videos of shows over the weekend. You know, I chose to not take my weekend off as I normally do, because I was just that much behind on archiving 11 shows onto the YouTube channel, and I did it. Along with 5 other shows archived onto the VinnieEastwoodShow.com in the audio archiving, which takes a bit longer, actually, and a lot more effort. And so I'm not messing around, you know. I'm not being lazy. I'm not just, you know, mooching off people and then going off and spending it on freaking hookers of blow or anything, bro. You know, I'm consistently churning out the work, and I'm the only person in New Zealand that's accomplished this kind of level of standing in the international research and activism community. As a result, it's kind of unique. And New Zealanders particularly, if you are a New Zealander and you have listened to the Vinnie Eastwood show, and if you have learned one thing from this show, give me $1. If you've learned 100 things, give me $100. If you've learned 1,000 things, give me $1,000. You know what I'm saying? Imagine that. For every great lesson in life, you give somebody $1. I'd be a billionaire. No, seriously, I've learned ridiculous amounts of things on this show. It's I remember when I was watching documentaries, Suzanne, you know, first 6 months just drilling into it, and you're watching 2 documentaries a day, and you just this geometric quantity of knowledge just starts getting accumulated. And now I'm doing that every day for 2 hours. And helping other people to bring that understanding and greater awareness of the world around them as well. And I want to iterate that I am so, so very, very grateful to all of you for listening, to all of you for contributing, for all of you that are sticking up for me on Facebook posts when people are attacking me, for all of you who send me emails and messages of encouragement telling me to keep up the good work and everything. I'm so freaking grateful, man. I can't express, really. I mean, I'm a wordsmith. There's very little things that I can't express, but I can't actually express how much I appreciate all of your support. The word appreciate doesn't even cut it. You know what I'm saying? I'm just on a real gratitude buzz today, because I've just had so many people come out of the woodwork to help me these last couple of days. I wanted to let you know, all of you who listen, even if you haven't contributed, even if you haven't given me those words of encouragement or anything like that, you're still listening, and I'm eternally grateful for that. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Suzanne Posel is my guest. Hour 2 coming up right now. Don't you go anywhere, folks.
Has your heart been pounding? Feel short of breath? Got high blood pressure or problems sleeping? Heart disease is a leading cause of death. Being surrounded by fast food, toxic air, and poisoned water has a cumulative effect as we enter later life.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. By the way, you can't listen at AmericanFreedomRadio.com because the website has been down for like nearly a week now. I don't know what's going on, and I've not been passed any information to this. Apparently, it's being worked on. But in the meantime, you can go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinnie with the Y, because it's the most important question. And Eastwood doesn't go ahead. Make my radio. and there's a little listen live button there that connects to the American Freedom Radio stream, which is still up. So if you were fortunate enough to have downloaded the American Freedom Radio stream onto your iTunes or your Winamp or whatever, those still work if you want to listen live. Otherwise, I am always archiving my shows on my website for all of you to listen to, as well as the commercial-free version, which you can access without having to give me any donations. You know, if you really, really don't like commercials, you can go there for free. I'm not going to stop you. But I would really appreciate it if you are going to do that, if you are going to bypass the wonderful sponsors of American Freedom Radio and that kind of thing, that you at least donate something, either to me or to American Freedom Radio. I'm looking for advertisers for them right now. So if anybody else is capable, if you want to advertise on the Vinnie Eastwood Show or on American Freedom Radio, please contact us, AmericanFreedomRadio@ymail.com, or you can contact me through the Vinnie Eastwood Show contact page there, because we're really looking for some advertisers to help get the network back on its feet. We've got board ops that we need to pay and bills as well. So donations are very welcome for American Freedom Radio. There's a big there was a big donate button there on the website, but there's also on realguerrillamedia.com a section for the contributors, and there's a donate button there for the American Freedom Radio one as well, under Danny Romero. So I hope that American Freedom Radio continues doing what it's doing, and improving, solving some of the problems back there. But it needs the support of you, the listener, in order to do so. It's it's the thing. It's a symbiotic relationship. We wouldn't exist without you at all. It's just that simple. Right, now back to the show. I'm just doing a ridiculous amount of plugging and driving for donations and everything. I know it can be sometimes very irritating to listen to, but it needs to be done, ladies and gentlemen. I really don't really have much of a choice in it. I need to support myself. I need to support American Freedom Radio. I need to support Suzanne Posel. I need to support good people doing good work who deserve it, because the real problem with society I see is that bad people get rewarded and good people get punished. I don't like that system, and so I try to do the direct opposite in every way to the system every day. Suzanne Posel, welcome back.
Absolutely. No, it's incredibly important. We need to keep this thing going, you know. And I'm very appreciative of the fact that I get to do this, and having my website down just proves that to me. You know, I'm writing articles right now. I can't be topical, you know, because when my website comes up, the news will have changed, obviously, but it gives me a chance to write some in-depth articles and dig into information that I've been putting off, because so much crap has been going on. You got to keep up with it. And I'm very appreciative of being able to do this, because it's so absolutely necessary. Otherwise, my God, some really crazy sci-fi film is going to become absolute reality on this planet.
Yeah, you know, that's I think maybe part of the reason why I like science fiction films so much, it's I have a sixth fascination with suffering. You know, I actually want to suffer in my life. I don't want to live it all cushy and nice and happy all the time. I want to see and feel conflict, rage, misery, pain, all of those good things. You know why? Because without them, how in the frack would you ever appreciate feeling pleasure or love or joy? You don't know the contrast. You don't know what you're fighting for. If your life has all been easy the whole frickin' time, what's to motivate you to get off your ass in order to change the way things are? The answer is frickin' nothing.
It's unfortunate because we like our conveniences. We don't want it to change. We've come this far technologically and advanced in society. We've come to some understandings that we don't do crazy things anymore, but yet we do still do these things. We just do them in covert ways. And with the advent of the press being completely controlled, regardless of what's happening on the other side of the world, we don't know about it. And so the internet has provided a way for people to get their information out. And it's not just an article or a blog that somebody started. It's websites where people can post video of what's going on inside their country, where they can speak on, well, what used to be, you know, free speech on YouTube, where they could post things and information got disseminated. So people really understood what was going on in other countries and how these people are being murdered, taken advantage of, destroyed, you know?
I think it's almost like our empathy receptors or whatever they are have been retarded. In some way, retarded meaning held back. I feel really intensely about things. You know, my emotions are very strong, and it actually pains me to see people who actually genuinely go through suffering. And as a result, to even try and imagine, you know, Let me give you an idea of what's inside my head. Okay, close your eyes for a second. If you're not driving or whatever, just close your eyes for a second and listen to the words of my voice. You're in another country. You love all the people that are in your community. And you play with the children in the street. All of a sudden, down comes a cruise missile. And you see your father walking out of a destroyed house with his arm missing and blood spurting out all over the ground, all the dust getting into the wound, and he's screaming because nobody can help him. And you're watching there. You're watching him die. You're watching all those people that you used to play with and love and care about. You're watching them all die. You're watching them all live in eternal pain and suffering. And there's nothing you can do about it. That's what I feel on a daily basis when I even think about Iraq or Afghanistan, or even to a large degree, those of you still living in the continental US, under the pain of a tyrannical regime, watching your country being taken over by ruthless criminal sociopaths day by day. They get stronger, more horrific in the size and scope of their scumbaggery. That's what I feel. What about you? It's because I feel that pain that it motivates me to actually try and help in what little way that I can. See, that part of what I said about there's nothing you can do about it, it's not entirely true. There's a couple of things you can do about it. You can deal with it. You can fight it. You can expose the truth. Learn how to cope with it. And that's part of the show. And that's the reason why it's often a lot more fun
than many other shows that are always pumping out the fear porn. Because who wants to live their life in fear? I already feel a large amount of the pain and suffering that I see in this world. Why would I want to deny myself the ability to have fun and make jokes at the same time? Why would I not leave myself an out? That's why I'm here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm giving you the option of having an out to escape this terrible pain that you might be feeling just for a couple of hours a day, just to laugh it off so that you can survive through till tomorrow. That's what the show does for me every day. Helps me to survive until tomorrow.
Well, I feel that way about my website, you know. And other times the website's gone down, I get really, really, really upset. And I've even cried. The last time it went down, I cried. When they told me that it was not repairable, it was corrupted. They explained it to me like code. If code were goo, it just goo melted, like, you know, a melted snow cone. It was just, or an ice cream cone. It was just done. But with this, I was speaking to my neighbor yesterday, and she's not awake at all. She's really, really a cool person, and she's really open to listening to information. And we were just talking because she's going after her RN license, and she's just starting the nursing program. And we were talking about vaccines because she has to get vaccinated in order to continue through the program. I told her what was in the vaccines, and her jaw just hit the floor. And we started talking about politics and corporations working with the government, and her jaw just kept hitting the floor over and over again as she was sitting there on my couch. And she says, "You have all of this information. It must be terrible." And it is kind of terrible to go out in public and see people just kind of going through the motions and not enjoying their life and not knowing why it sucks, but it just does. And who said life was fair? That was the thing my mother used to say all the time. Just accepting the fact that your life sucks and it's never going to get better and just be happy with what you've got. That hurts when I go out in public and I see people, because you can't just barrage every single person you run into. It's just, you can't do that. You can just leave little conversation points or maybe some seeds to think about when you're talking to people about why their life sucks, you know, at the register or whatnot. But it really hurts to be walking amongst people that if we just all got together, we could just crash the economy if we wanted to. We could just choose to do something else. We could build another monetary system. We could build our communities the way that we want them to be. We could have farming and local businesses that everything just centers around each other and help out the outreaches from city to city and downtown and just replace all of this garbage, because it's only one version of a government. It's only one version of a monetary system. It's only one version of a society. There's many different ways we could have gone about this, and there's many different ways we can continue on. We don't have to go along with the flow just because that's the way it's always been and that's the way it'll always be.
What the hell happened to state sovereignty, huh? The federal government's just taken over everything. It was the beauty of the United States. If you didn't like the laws in one place, you could just move to another. But now the feds just come and dominate everything.
Because people are not being taught. It's not in the schools anymore. Civics is not being taught. And now that they've completely removed civics, or mostly removed civics from the schools, the civics that was being taught before that was just watered down garbage. It had nothing to do with learning about your constitutional republic. I was taught that I was living in a democracy. Democracy is mob rule. That is not a constitutional republic where the people are in charge and they choose their government and they choose their representatives. Democracy is mob rule. So whatever the mob says goes. And that is never in favor of the individual, and it does not protect sovereignty. What it does is it melts back into a police state, which when you look back historically, it always has deteriorated into a police state. So the fact that we've been saying that we're a democracy for, I mean, as long as I've been alive and much longer, is a ridiculous fallacy. But it's said so many times, the lies are repeated so many times that people just believe them. The truth becomes inconsequential. Facts become opinions. Opinions become facts. It doesn't matter what happened. It only matters where we're going now.
You know, it's... It's difficult to even process sometimes because, you know, we're only human. And I think that's it's a great strength and a great weakness that we've really been endowed with being part of the human race. And I love it, you know. I'm enjoying being human far more than I would enjoy being a bird or something, you know. It'd be cool to, like, you know, tweet and potter around in trees and run the freak away from cats scaring the hell out of me or something. But, you know, at the end of the day, I prefer to be human. It's not because I'm being arrogant about it. I just think we're the coolest species on the planet. We've got the most potential. We can do the most good. And we can also do the most wrong. And that old saying really does ring true, doesn't it? The only thing that's necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And of course... women as well, Suzanne.
Oh, absolutely. The compliance with the system is what is keeping it going. You can show up with all your guns. You can show up with all your might of force. Your compliance. You still go and buy the iPhone. You still go shop at Target. You still bought your dinner for your family from KFC or Burger King. You're compliant. And as long as you're compliant, the machine rolls on. You can protest all you want. You can speak out all you want. You can write letters and emails and faxes and phone lines. You can leave as many voicemails as possible. It's not going to change until you stop complying with the system. Once you do that and other people follow, then the corporations are going to fall. The profits are going to be lost. The governments are going to have to do something on a state, local, and federal level because the people are not complying and it's en masse. And then at that point, then we can say, all right, guys, let's redress this because this sucks. And we don't like this. We don't want this. We don't like you. We don't want you. We want to make this honest. We want to make this real. We want to have a constitutional republic here in the United States and a lot of other countries who have constitutions. They should be abiding by their constitution. Doesn't New Zealand have a constitution?
No, not really.
No. I think Australia, I was talking to Leon Pittard. They have a constitution, whether it's followed. Different thing, but they have it.
Indeed. Whether or not you have something doesn't necessarily get followed. After all, the US has a constitution, but they haven't followed it for over 100 years. We'll be right back.
What is about? There's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. I'm very, very appreciative of everybody who tunes into this radio broadcast, particularly those of you who listen to the radio in Hamilton and Tauranga and Raglan and Whanganui and Invercargill, Queenstown, Christchurch, Dunedin. There's a whole bunch of cities now where you can get the Vinnie Eastwood Show. At varying times, and there are links to my New Zealand affiliates
on the homepage of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, and I encourage people to support those local broadcasters as well, helping to get the word out, because it requires a lot of guts to broadcast this kind of stuff. I'm not, you know, tooting my own horn and saying, oh, I've got a lot of guts to do this. Basically, I'm just doing it because I've got a lack of options and I'm kind of freaking reckless. But the other people that actually have something to lose, you know, like a radio station, or they own their home, or they've got businesses and all of that kind of stuff. I don't have any of that. Okay, I've got very little to lose. That's why I'm not afraid to go up against scumbags, because they can't really take anything from me. Apart from, you know, my life, my computers, and all of this other kind of stuff. They could really frack me up if they really wanted to, but well, as far as I'm concerned, I'll wind up losing all of that stuff anyway. You know? You don't really have anything to lose. That was my conclusion a couple of years ago. What is it that I'm afraid of losing that the elite aren't going to take from me if I don't resist them? Nothing! Absolutely. It's just insane.
Absolutely. I mean, well, yeah. That's why non-compliance is so perfect, because you take yourself out of the game. Then you don't lose anything.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, you lose your bank accounts and certain conveniences and stuff like that. Like, you know the old saying, there's no such thing as a free lunch. It is pretty true, especially if it's an MRE from FEMA.
Well, you know, if anyone saw marionette movie that the guys from South Park did, was that Team America, World Police? Freedom isn't free. It costs $1.05. So just spend your $1.05 and be done with it.
Oh, yeah. Nonsense. Here's a good topic switch for you. There's a whole lot of it. Have you noticed, Suzanne, just how many people out there literally believe in absolute nonsense? And I'm not just talking about the average mind-controlled, brainwashed, television-watching, aspartame-slurping, gum-chewing, frickin' Macca's-munching moron out there. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about people who claim to be enlightened but are obviously frickin' retarded. That's quite frustrating for me. Particularly because they think that they're spreading the truth when all they're doing is spreading fallacies.
Well, never underestimate the hold that the chemicals in the food and the chemtrails and the water and all the programming on television. Don't underestimate how powerful all of that is combined on attacking this one tiny little person with this, you know, brain inside their head. And they are just, if they don't conform, if they don't go along with the crowd, what good are they? You know, whether or not, what is truth? Truth becomes subjective. Depending on your opinion or your perspective, it becomes subjective. So then it's easy to just say, well, you know, whatever, I don't know, I wasn't there. I wasn't there at Aleppo. I wasn't there in Germany during World War II. I wasn't there at Pearl Harbor. I don't know what happened. You know, and you get that mentality going. Then it becomes contagious. And then all of a sudden, nobody knows what's going on, and people are just regurgitating what they hear. Maybe they saw a plot line in a film or in a show, and they think that they remember that that's a historical fact. You ever run into those guys? like an episode of All in the Family?
I don't know. I didn't watch All in the Family. Was that like on air in the 80s or something? Because I think I was like, at my oldest in the 80s, I was like 6.
Oh my
no,
God.
Five.
Well, I always forget that I'm like 10 years older than you. For its time, it was very racy. You know, the Jeffersons character was on there, and that's the spinoff from All in the Family, and he made a lot of derogatory racist comments, and everybody laughed at it until it was okay to make those kind of comments. And then all of a sudden, you couldn't possibly say that on television, let alone say it in public. And the kind of irony that they build up this momentum for everyone to think that racism is funny and sexism is funny, and then restrict anyone's ability to express that newfound meme that's running around in the society.
Yeah. Hey, and another thing that's interesting about this racism complex, I remember we had a my former co-host Will and I was invited by this woman to work for her at the time that we were co-hosting the show, and she wanted to do videos and what have you, and we had this meeting with her to discern whether or not she knew what the frack was going on, right? And the subject of Obama came up, and she says to us, and this is after claiming that she knows about the New World Order and the elite and everything and wants to do something about it, she says to us, oh, anybody who criticizes Obama is racist.
Oh, wow.
You're an idiot.
Yeah.
And you don't know what you're talking about.
It couldn't be that he signs all of these executive orders. And not that he sent an exorbitant amount. You know, his predecessors have signed an equally scary amount of executive orders. But the ones that he signed are supporting Agenda 21, supporting a police state, supporting Big Brother, the NDAA. If you want to throw out the executive orders, let's just focus on the NDAA itself, you know. Amendments to... in the fiscal year of 2013, supporting amendments into the NDAA that support taking the Second Amendment rights away from veterans. I mean, just that alone, it has nothing to do with the color of his skin. It just happens to be Obama, who's a black man, an African-American man, who's doing these things. But he could be anybody. And we'd still think that these things were terrible.
Yeah, I mean, am I called racist for saying that Kim Jong-il was a dictator? Oh, you're racist against Asians. No, he's a dictator, and he executes people by the hundreds. You know, there's nothing to do with racism, bro. Are you freaking retarded? All right. Oh, no, now you're discriminating against people who are retarded. No. You misunderstand me. Retarded doesn't mean intellectually handicapped or disabled. Retarded means you're perfectly capable of working things out for yourself, but you just can't be bothered because you're too much of an idiot to know how much of an idiot you really are.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, if you're going in the hamster wheel, going real fast, and you got that job and you're happy with whatever money you're making, and you're wearing that suit and tie and looking really good. You know, I was in a grocery store. I was out with my neighbor, and she wanted to pick up some stuff. We were having a barbecue out behind the houses, so we're in this store. I don't normally go in this store, but I noticed that the managers were having a meeting in the middle of an aisle, and all the customers were trying to get around them. It was very uproarious, and people were hitting the aisles and knocking over stuff, trying to get around these two guys who are managers of the store talking. You know, they could have moved out of the way. And I asked one of them to move out of the way, and he ignored me. So I went to walk past him, and I asked him if he could, you know, excuse me. And he gave me a strange look and said, where are you trying to get to? And it's obvious that I'm trying to get through the aisle. Where else am I going? Oh, I'm going to Disneyland. I thought that it was this way. That's why I'm going here. Is Disneyland to the left or right when I get to the aisle?
I'm trying to find the time machine.
Exactly. And I haven't been around this stuff in so long, so I'm just like... Oh, my dear Lord. And he and his friends were making a joke, and I said, well, shouldn't you move out of the way for the customer? I mean, they're paying your salary. Wouldn't you want the customer to go as get as many items as they can and shove them in their cart so that you can get a bonus at the end of the year? And
when Mike Judge made the film Idiocracy, he thought it would take about 500 years for the human race to get that frickin' stupid. It happened in five.
Yes, when I saw that film, it was probably close to like 7 years ago or 6 years ago. That was one of the truest to what's happening right now films I've ever seen, and it was not intended to be. It was intended to be a joke on, you know, a possible future, not dictating reality as we know it.
It's quite a prophetic film when you think about it, you know, huh? I think that's the beauty of it.
Well, just take the electrolytes, okay? They're pouring Gatorade onto plants because it has electrolytes, and that's what plants crave. Ladies and gentlemen, I was watching a YouTube video of like a show. I think it was like the Gummy Bears or something, and they still had the cartoons from the 80s, the commercials, I'm sorry, in this YouTube video. So I'm watching these old commercials I haven't seen in years, and I'm like, wow, look at that. Oh my God, I can't believe they did that. One of them was for an additive in a gasoline because they were trying to sell Shell gasoline. Now, my husband is a mechanic. So I looked at him and I said, what is that additive? What does it do for engines? And he said, I don't know what the hell that is. They made that shit up. Oh, I'm sorry I said that. I apologize.
Hey, well, you know, I just wanted, somebody accused me of censoring things on the show because we're controlled by the FCC.
No.
No. He actually accused me of working for the FCC. Oh my god, some people are just insane, like brain damaged. This is what's happening now, isn't it, Suzanne? We've got a brain damaged population who literally do not have any idea of how to even start, how to think for themselves, how to actually look at evidence and have that lead their conclusions. They lead with the conclusion and ignore all the evidence instead. And it's so frustrating. Have you ever noticed, if you're an intelligent person, how much an idiot can really, really F you off? You know? That's the power idiots have. They have the power to F off an intelligent person ad infinitum.
This is the idiocracy coming to life. You know, this is how, think about it, folks, the way in which the police departments and the NSA use your information on Facebook is they go through your profile, they go through your friends, and they look at the friends of your friends, and they look at the friends of your friends of your friends, and they make these crazy associations, these crazy, you know, 6 degrees of separation, and call you a terrorist. And ironically, in the truth movement, that's how most of the audience has been taught to find guilt in people by that type of association. And we call that research. That's not research. There's no evidence of anything happening. There's an association that's like 6 degrees past. It's amazing.
It's not cause and effect, okay?
So this is research, and this is, you know, I understand that. I'm not saying that Goldman Sachs funding Ted Cruz and then Ted Cruz supporting efforts that help out Goldman Sachs, I'm not saying that that's not a correlation, that that's not a circle of life that you can point out. I'm not saying that. But if somebody's third removed cousin from 10 years ago that they haven't seen or ends up at an obscure wedding who was hired hostess of a third cousin, twice removed of a Rothschild, that's not a connection to anything at all. That isn't alternative news research. That isn't exposing anything. That's garbledygook for people who have no sense of reality to go running off on whirling dervishes while the machine keeps running. Theater for conspiracy theorists.
Yeah. Kind of like the Vinnie Eastwood show. I wanted to also iterate as well that I'm not trying to be negative or single people out or anything. It's ultimately about self-analysis. Before I can start calling anybody else an idiot, I've got to admit how much I don't know, how much of a fool I really am, how easily I can be manipulated. You see what I'm saying, folks? I'm not making it up. You really do have to have some self-analysis and think to yourself, you know, it's like the ballad of the cosmic schmuck. He who wonders to himself all the time, am I the cosmic schmuck? You know, cosmic meaning big and schmuck meaning idiot. If you're always questioning that, you'll never become the cosmic schmuck. If you never, under any circumstances, ask yourself that question honestly, then you probably are the cosmic schmuck. Sorry to say. Just admit it. Grow up.
Start questioning yourself. Start questioning your own motives. What are you doing? You know? Are you doing something that's positively contributing to society? That's actually helping to build your own brain mass beyond that of a small sea urchin? You know? Get with the program. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Don't you go anywhere, folks.
Ladies and gentlemen, do me a favor, smash the television and burn the newspaper. That shit will never tell you that the president's a traitor. Believe what you want, but my evidence is greater. What you know about the Bilderberg and New World Order? What you know about the real fluoride in your water? What you know about the breed of uranium in the mortar? What you know about APAC controlling the reporter? What's wrong
Welcome
with
back.
The world? People kill people, that other people command middle.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is the final segment already. I've really quite enjoyed this little conversation here. The topic that I actually brought you on to discuss, I think we kind of glossed over and then just moved on to insulting idiots for the most part of the show today. The super typhoon, you know. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's a super typhoon. It's going to swoop in and save you from your generally nice, peaceful, happy, tropical life, you know.
Well, they said that here in the United States when the tornadoes were happening. Oh my God, it's global warming, it's climate change. So we have to pass all this legislation because there are tornadoes and it's climate change. No, it's freaking geoengineering. That's what it is, folks. And plus, the climate changes. It's been this temperate for an extended period of time, but it's never been this way in geological history.
Well, has it not?
Not for this extended period of time. Not like this. Now, even when the dinosaurs were walking around, there was still temperate climate change and going up and down, and things were more oxygenated and then came, well, these are theories. You know, everything I'm saying is still a theory. It's not a fact, ladies and gentlemen. It's the theory that they came up with. That more oxygen in the atmosphere facilitated larger plant life, larger animals. And as the climate started to change, the facilitation of oxygen enriched air became less and less. And so you have smaller and smaller animals and plants.
I thought it was like, I think the Cambrian period had carbon dioxide levels that were around 7,000 parts per million. And nowadays we have about a little around about 350, 400 something. And there's an organization called 350.org that says we need to keep carbon under 350 parts per million. And they were doing great when we had the Kyoto protocols and the IPCC and all of this kind of stuff. But then this big, big thing in Iceland erupted and it produced more carbon dioxide than the entire human race had ever produced in its entire history. And it's like, maybe we better change it to, like, I don't know, 7000.org or something like that, you know? We want to take it back to the Cambrian times, man. It was way better back then.
Well, they just want to keep passing it back forward, you know, or forward. You know, this is going to happen way off in the future. 100 years from now, who knows what's going to happen 100 years from now? There could be a complete nuclear war and everything's dead on the entire planet within 100 years. So what would their planning for the melting of the polar ice caps do if we're all dead from nuclear war?
Yeah. Or Fukushima, for that matter. I mean, damn, we've only got 8 minutes to discuss Fukushima. And they're trying to get 1,500 fuel rods. And if any of these fuel rods, while they're being extracted, touch the air, it's all over.
Well, TEPCO said a couple of months ago with the Japanese government that they had no choice but to dump radioactive water from the inside that they were using to cool, to remove water, to replace water, to remove water, to replace water. They had no choice but to dump this radioactive water directly into the Pacific Ocean. That there's no other option than that? Are you serious? And as far as I know, they've been doing it for a while, and they are continuing to do it now.
Yeah.
So whatever damage wasn't caused by the leakage itself, which is irrevocable for an exorbitant amount of time. Great, 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 great grandchildren. Now they are admitting that they are dumping this toxin directly into the Pacific Ocean, killing everything along its path. And people forget, like, they think that, like, the Atlantic Ocean is, like, somehow separate from the Pacific Ocean. This is just a marker, ladies and gentlemen. It's all one big body of water, which means if you drop something into it, it's going to affect the whole thing. Eventually, there's no way to stop that. It's done.
Yeah. There are currents that go all the way through every single major ocean. They're all connected. It's tic-tac-toe, bro. And think about this. It was actually these two big... going to the beach or being out on boats or anything like that. You know, I've done a fair amount of my time and that sort of thing. But at the end of the day, it was these two events, the Gulf of Mexico oil cano and the huge quantity of Corex at 9500 they were spraying, and this Fukushima thing that really kind of gave me a kick in the pants and really woke me up. Even more than I already was, more to the point, just motivated me to start, you know, stop fracking around and really do something now, because these are extinction level verge events. But people don't know about the broader implications. So when the Gulf of Mexico thing happened, I mean, I've seen reports of and video footage of the ground, the seabed itself cracking open and these enormous fissures miles away from the wellhead that was spewing out oil just out of the seabed, right? That's how badly they fracked everything up. And allegedly, it's still going to this day. I've not seen any evidence that it stopped. I've seen a picture, you know, of the wellhead no longer leaking, but it didn't look like the same wellhead to me. Was it even the same one? Has this been confirmed by multiples? I don't know. It could just be keeping on going worse. And I have reports from people down in the Gulf saying that they're still spraying Corex at 9500 all over the frickin' Gulf. Why the hell would they be doing that if the oil stopped leaking? Huh?
There was a storm the past late last year that brought up all of these Corexit balls, and I'm not talking about a little pebble. I'm talking about a ball the size of my daughter's head, my 3-year-old daughter's head, of Corexit. And flesh-eating bacteria like to eat Corexit. So there's all sorts of things going on down there. It's raining. It's in the atmosphere. It's raining down on the crops. It's raining down on their heads. It's in their food. It's on their beaches. It's everywhere. And this is cumulative, folks. This is like rubbing parabens into your daughter's head when she's 2 and then her coming down with breast cancer when she's 40 from years of accumulating parabens in her body. Some of the cancer just completely ravages these people's bodies now. And some of it is just coming on cumulative, where they could say, oh, it could be anything. You know, like the crap they were saying about smoking. Oh, it could be anything contributing to lung cancer. We're not sure that it's actually the cigarettes.
Yeah. And we're not going to, like, test people's urine or take blood tests or anything like that to measure the amount of nicotine or Corex at 9500 in their blood or excretion fluids, are we? And now the New Zealand government has decided, I think it was like last month, they decided, hey, we're not going to test imports for radiation from Japan anymore. And we're not going to test our seawater either. And we're not going to test the atmosphere either. Well, hold on a second here. Did you just decide that after or before the reports came out that it's starting to leak radiation all over the place? Before or after the reports that there's huge contamination in the Fukushima region and that there's massive radiation spikes just in the mainland of Japan or anything where all the manufacturing bases and everything like that? When did you decide this? And it was the same thing right after Fukushima with the United States as well on the California coastline. They had all these radiation detectors and everything that were just going off the scale, just screaming. I actually had a call from somebody on Skype who got sunburned while he was sitting inside in the shade Mm-hmm. You know? And what the US government did? What they did is they recalibrated their machines and then raised the level of acceptable radiation.
Right. After 14,000 children who died from radiation poisoning within a week of Fukushima, reported to the CDC, radiation poisoning dying, and it barely graced any outlet at all. Any outlet. A week after it happened.
And also, there was a 30% spike, I think, around about in the week or month that it happened, in stillborns or what's it called when you're when you lose your child? Miscarriage. Yeah.
Right.
What radiation is linked to? So it's a massive thing. And I think Dr. Rima Labo, she just got the hell out of the Northern Hemisphere. You know, it's
smart.
It's really hard to leave your home. I understand that it is. But if you realize that you really can't return without getting radiation poisoning or accumulating massive amounts of rads day by day, it's not a place you can really return to. I mean, but then again, have a look at, but I don't think this is a good example, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. They're both actually thriving cities at the moment. You know, they just built right over it, and they're now all flashy lights and Ferris wheels, and everybody goes on like nothing happened. Isn't that interesting? I wonder what their cancer rates are like, though.
All right. Talk to the people in Chernobyl.
What people in Chernobyl?
Exactly.
Yeah. Cockroaches and Walmart, the only two things that can survive a nuclear contamination, as far as I know. Okay, thank you, Suzanne, for your contributions today. I certainly hope your website gets sorted out as soon as humanly possible. And if there is anybody from Anonymous that is capable of lending their support, any hackers or digital gurus or somebody who can actually vet that you are a decent person and so on and so forth, that you can help protect Suzanne from scumbaggery hackers that are working for the government or whatever, please contact her. And we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for all your help and support.